Did the whole thing. Between the first hour and the second hour, we did the whole thing. That is Fall Out Boy's rendition of Billy Joel's classic, We Didn't Start the Fire. So we talked about some historical fun facts on this day in the first hour. Welcome back to the top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, July 13, 2023. We unpacked history a little bit in the first hour. We went down a bit of a rabbit hole. I mentioned that one of the fun facts on this day, the hashtag Black Lives Matter first appeared on July 13, 2013. And so we went down a bit of a rabbit trail on that. And I'm going to let the first hour stand on its own merits. We're going to just leave it at that. If you don't know or you didn't hear, feel free to go listen. I think it was interesting and why it's important to know, which reminds me of other stuff I mentioned along the way during the first hour, why it's important. Why does it matter? Why is it important to remember history? And, you know, I mentioned an example of how far we've come. This is air quotes and how much we're getting fleeced. Now, the example that I mentioned was, you know, service stations, how they used to offer to check and even top off your fluids while fueling up your automobile with a bright and sunny disposition, you know, a smile and well-groomed people, not people who look like they just, you know, got released from somewhere and, you know, are still trying to, what's the term? They're still trying to reacclimate themselves to society. There's the kid who's the comedian, for example, you know, with the tattoos that he jokes about, you know. No, I used to be part of organized crime, you know, part of a gang. And well, these days, most people are part of a gang or several gangs. They just don't realize it, don't acknowledge it as such. Anyway, we've gone from those old service station days to and great full service to, you know, in the name of convenience, now we're self-service and still paying full service prices. So that's why it's important to remember, and we have forgotten. So moving on, I got some other laments about the fleecing. We'll get to that. As a fellow road warrior, though, have you ever have one of those days where you're driving around all day saying, bless, don't curse, bless, don't curse, bless, don't curse. You know, Romans 12 kind of thing. A Romans 12, 14 kind of day. Bless those who persecute you, bless, and do not curse. I feel like maybe, you know, personally, some days I'd like to go back to the old eye for an eye days. Do you ever feel like maybe we should have a, you know, an eye for an eye party, a blanket party at the edge of town kind of thing, you know, the old stoning kinds of things. But that's not the order of the day, is it? So here we are. Interesting times. A wild and dystopic ride, as they say. You know, I keep seeing these things. There is a clash of civilizations brewing. You may have heard. Samuel P. Huntington and friends have been writing in a disingenuous sort of fashion to try to engineer it. Here are the mechanics of how this might work. In plausibly deniable fashion, they write about these kinds of things. I mentioned balkanization in the first hour. That's a key ingredient. But, you know, the provocation, drawing sides apart, weaponizing children, I think is a despicable and reprehensible thing. And I think of the synoptic gospel message, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in that regard, in the King James, because I think it's more appropriate. Those three verses, Matthew 18:6, Mark 9:42, and Luke 17:2, respectively, in the King James. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, Jesus speaking, obviously, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's Matthew 18:6. Mark 9:42, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And finally, Luke 17:2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And, you know, it applies, I would say, much more liberally and broadly than just the example of, you know, drag queen story hour kind of stuff, which should be criminal. I mean, it should be criminal. If you're doing those kinds of things, you should be probably in prison. And those who are sanctioning these kinds of things should be along with you. You should be fellow cellmates. I'm just going to say it plainly and simply. I was thinking about those things before the broadcast, you know, capital punishment, corporal punishment. There were days we've lost sight of those days because we're so much more cosmopolitan now. It's a controversial issue and it can be misapplied and misused. Obviously, the case of Jesus himself is perhaps the most quintessential example of corporal and capital punishment misappropriated, but you know, historically, these are important reminders. There's the one. Let me see if I can remember it. What was that example? The the gruesome example. I don't even know if I want to mention it because, man, if you're some people might not have the constitution to endure it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sisymus was, according to Herodotus' histories, a corrupt royal judge active in the Persian Empire. And during the reign of Cambyses II of Persia, when Cambyses learned that Sismus had accepted a bribe to influence a verdict, he had him promptly arrested and sentenced to be flayed alive. He had the skin of the flayed Sismus cut into leather strips. Cambyses then appointed Autonus, the son of the condemned Sismus, as his father's judicial successor. Imagine that. Your dad is skinned alive. Now you're the judge that replaces him. That is that's one kind of sword of Damocles, I would say. Or, you know, a skin of something. In order to remind Autonus what happens to corrupt judges and not forget the importance of judicial integrity, Cambyses ordered that the new judge's chair be draped in the leather strips made from the skin, basically, of his father. So, that is a particularly provocative example from history. You get the point. And who was the guy? There was the depiction. Is it Gerard David, his painting? Oh, maybe. Yeah, I think so. I think Gerard David's painting is the one that is most popularly remembered when the story is told. So anyway, that's one example. And you can imagine, you know, this is, I remember when I first started talking about the administrative hijinks, and I was saying years and years ago, the 9th and 10th Amendments are very adequate, I would say. And I was arguing that anybody who approaches those should be treated in somewhat, you know, this kind of fashion. You approach them in Patrick Henry sort of, you know, the sentiments of Patrick Henry, precious jewel, liberty. If anybody even approaches it, suspect everyone who comes near that precious jewel. Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. And so, you know, now we've been seduced into, you know, all kinds of manner of deception, not holding to that precept, if you will. And this reminds me, you know, I was thinking the other day, what was it, Tuesday, I guess? I never read Mark Jones's Why Jesus Needed the Holy Spirit. Should circle back. But I was also thinking back in 2021, September 22nd specifically, I went through the cycles of empires or the stages of civilizations. Most commonly, you hear about Alexander Fraser Tytler's, you know, Lord Woodhouse, his, it's referred to as the Tytler cycle or the fatal sequence. And more recently, Sir John Bagot Glubb wrote The Fate of Empires and the Search for Survival, which is also typically sort of included in the discussion. And, you know, I think of the Book of Judges and these lessons of history that we just don't seem to be able to learn. ironic. Painfully ironic. And so Eric Snow, the United Church of God, controversies notwithstanding, and they are myriad. Eric Snow wrote a piece over at ucg.org back in 2011 titled "The Life Cycles of Empires, Lessons for America Today." And he included, well, the subtitle I think is Lessons for America Today, ? But subtitle, perceptive historians recognize that great powers go through a cycle of growth, stability, maturity, and decline. Where is America in this cycle? Will we learn from the lessons of history? And I think the idea of American exceptionalism has us blinded. So he begins his article, the German philosopher Hegel, 1770 to 1831, knew that just because men and women learn about the past, that didn't mean they'd make better decisions about the future. He once cynically commented, quote, "What experience and history teach us is this, that people and governments never have learned anything from history or acted on principles deduced from it." And I would say similarly, a fellow German philosopher, Goethe, Mr. Faust, he was the guy who wrote, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they're free. So I think American exceptionalism has conspired against us to lead us to believe that history doesn't matter. And we are constantly whispered this myth. Now, this is a new thing, when I would argue that this is the reinvigoration of the old thing. The first great reset with Genesis chapter 6, the new, you know, Klaus Schwab wants a new great reset. The actual great reset Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3. But this great reset that Klaus Schwab is talking about is the reinvigoration of the great unfinished work from Genesis chapter 11, the tower, etc., etc. Now it's the time, you know, and they talk about these things at the World Economic Forum and the World Government Summit and all these kinds of things. Anyway, I thought some of this stuff would fold into the discussion, so maybe we'll do some of that as well. But I think one of the things... you know, I mentioned in the first hour, the TruStream Media series Overlooked, Lost in the Shining Hotel. Episode one was the environment. Episode two was the management. And there was the excerpt mentioned as part of, the BLM controversy and really how the Bureau of Land Management, that controversy that, you know, we played the clip of Greg Walden, that represented the American everyman. And I think that goes right back to the clip that I was thinking of. Maybe we can play that, actually. And this is something, you know, when we sort of went through this a little bit, when Aaron and Melissa Dykes released their series, the first one, well... I'll finish that thought on the other side of the break. We'll try to throw a clip in. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
If we can squeeze in a bit, you know, during the segment, maybe we can do it. We're going to end up cutting off some of what I want, though, I'm sure. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll break it up over 2 segments. So, I apologize for the, you know, dead air. Multitasking is very bad for radio. Well, we might be able to, you know, just break it at a good point, but I'm just looking for the spot. Okay. Maybe. Yeah, I think I got a spot. Yeah, that'll work. We'll just go here. So we're going to give you a slice back to kind of revisiting some of the subject matter from the first hour. A slice of Aaron and Melissa Dykes' True Stream Media video titled Overlooked, Lost in the Shining Hotel, Episode 1, The Environment. You know what? Maybe we'll save it. We'll save it for the next segment. It'll be that'll work better because it's going to be kind of an extended excerpt. It's going to be like hour 15 minute 23 second mark to somewhere around hour 22. Another one of those 7 minute segments, kind of like the Greg Walden clip we played in the first hour today. But again, it's apropos, and this goes back to, you know, why is it important to understand these things? You know, I mentioned a moment ago the Teitler cycle of history, or the fatal sequence as it's known. And, you know, this gets back to my point constantly about who decides. And you got to look, you got to read between the lines. It's that meta distinction, you know. And this, I would say, again, is this folds right into the liminal warfare space, that battleground. The Teitler cycle of history is typically known as, you know, from bondage to spiritual faith to courage to liberty to abundance to selfishness to complacency to apathy to dependence and then back to bondage. So, you know, the idea being, you know, from bondage, people oppose the conditions. Spiritual faith, they cry out to God, basically, searching for some degree of unity or for a common cause because they're oppressed. Then from there to courage, and they are willing to live by the courage of their convictions, which results in liberty, success, prosperity, blessings. And then from there, the development of misplaced liberty, which, you know, the idea in America, in my understanding, in certainly one aspect or one context, is that liberty meant the freedom to pursue one's relationship with one's creator to whatever extent one sees fit. But also, conversely, then, I guess, that implies the liberty to deny God, the liberty to abuse grace, to sin, liberty to control or not control myself, liberty to divide the body of Christ, as they say. And then, you know, while this is happening, you have the transition from that to, you know, you go through a period of abundance, then to selfishness, then to complacency, the entitlement, the whining and complaining. Then the nihilistic impulse, apathy, you know, accept no responsibility, blame everyone else, critical of everything, leading to, you know, the Franklin quote, you know, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. So then control of independence, freedom is centralized, and systematically, the concept of the psychological panopticon is introduced. Because, you know, obviously we can't have all these crazy people running around. Which, remember, I mean, what was it, 91, 2, when Bill Clinton said that? You know, sometimes, you know, when our founders got together, they, maybe we should find that clip. Maybe I'll look for that one. They, you know, sometimes we got to curb those freedoms, you know. Anyway, we'll get to the Overlooked, Lost in the Shining Hotel clip when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite 7 herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Welcome back. All right, quickly so that we get to the clip. Speaking of Bill Clinton, what he said at the during the April 19, 1994 MTV Enough is Enough forum interview was, you know, and of course these people are all handpicked. I'm sure the clip's floating around. I'm not aware of exactly where it is. Tabitha Soren eventually, she was a correspondent. Anyway, she asked the question, it was not her. Someone else asked the question, I think. The young man, Michael Fay? No. Oh, that was who he was talking about. Anyway, so in Singapore, I apologize. I'm looking at the transcript. Anyway, so he said, Bill Clinton said, in response to the question on crime and individual freedom, one of the participants discussed Singapore sentencing of an American student to be caned and asked if a similar penal system that was not based on a strong belief in individual rights would be beneficial in combating U.S. crime. And so the point is, you know, this is entirely staged. So Tabitha Soren clarifies he's talking about the caning in Singapore. So Clinton says in part of his answer, my own view is that you can go to the extreme in either direction. And when we got organized as a country and we wrote a fairly radical constitution with a radical Bill of Rights, giving a radical amount of freedom, individual freedom to Americans, it was assumed that the Americans who had that freedom would use it responsibly. That is, when we set up this country, abuse of people by government was a big problem. So if you read the Constitution, it's rooted in the desire to limit the ability of government's ability to mess with you, because that was a huge problem. It can still be a huge problem, but it is assumed that people would basically be raised in coherent families, in coherent communities, and they would work for the common good as well as for the individual welfare. That's interesting, coming from William Jefferson Blythe, Mr. de Molay, et cetera, himself. Anyway, so he continues on. And, you know, some of this, what I just read is in the wiki quote entry for Bill Clinton. What is curious is that this extra bit here is left out. What happened, Clinton said, what's happened in America today is too many people live in areas where there's no family structure, no community structure, and no work structure. And so there's a lot of irresponsibility. And so a lot of people say there's too much personal freedom. When personal freedom's being abused, you have to move to limit it. Funny how that gets left on the cutting room floor of WikiQuote. So then he goes on and he says, that's what we did in the announcement I made last weekend on the public housing projects about how we're going to have weapon sweeps and more things like that to try to make people safer in their communities. You know where you're most safe and secure? Prison. That's where. So he says, that's my answer to you. We can have – the more personal freedom a society has, the more personal responsibility a society needs, and the more strength you need out of your institutions, family, community, and at work. And that was when MTV took a commercial break. So I would say, to conclude that thought, no one has done more to injure the black community than America's first black president, William Jefferson Blythe – or I mean Clinton. And the reason I make that point is because when I say, usually, especially at those higher levels, you know, U.S. Congressman, senator, president, you will find that these characters injure their own constituency as much as anyone else by design. That's to invoke or to further induce or deepen Stockholm syndrome, because nobody wants to say, I'm the idiot who voted for Bill Clinton, or, you know, insert person here, name here. So it works very well in that regard. Anyway, back to the other deal, the excerpt from Overlooked, Lost in the Shining Hotel as a you know, another inconvenient reminder, uncomfortable reminder of history repeating itself. And do we learn any lessons from that? So can we play that excerpt, please?
Oh. History is never a one-sided story. Most Americans, especially those born in the 20th century, weren't taught much indigenous history in school at all. And most of what has been taught is set only in the context of pioneers or settlers, which, if it doesn't cast natives as villains, cast them as obstacles to settlement. So many Americans literally don't see the Indian. Out of mind, out of sight. The opening drive of the film begins in Glacier National Park, home to the Blackfeet for some 10,000 years before Europeans ever showed up. Glacier was their most sacred space, which they called the backbone of the world. In January 1870, a camp of Blackfeet belonging to Chief Heavy Runner, suffering smallpox, were sleeping soundly one night. The men had gone out to hunt, and the majority of the camp were women, children, and elderly men. Chief Heavy Runner's tribe had been deemed friendly to the U.S. government and were promised protection, even issued a safe conduct document from the U.S. Indian Bureau. Major Eugene M. Baker of the U.S. 2nd Cavalry, on the orders of General Sheridan, set out to suppress a specific band of Blackfeet under Mountain Chief, but came upon this friendly band sleeping instead. Warned by his own scout, Joe Kipp, that this was the wrong band of people, Major Baker is quoted as having said, "That makes no difference. One band or another of them, they are all Blackfeet, and we will attack them." He then ordered one of his sergeants to hold the scout at gunpoint and shoot him if he attempted to warn the sleeping tribe. Kipp shouted anyway, rousing Chief Heavy Runner, who ran towards the soldiers waving his paper from the Indian Bureau promising safety. The chief was immediately shot and killed. Once the first shot was fired, soldiers began firing into the lodges of sleeping people, then charged the camp. They sliced open lodge coverings with butcher knives and shot the unarmed sleeping inhabitants inside. Others were murdered with axes, and still others who were wounded but had not died from the initial attack were burned to death when they set the entire camp on fire. 217 lives were barbarically ended that night, including 15 men, 90 women, and 50 children. Despite public outrage, once word got out, an official investigation was suppressed. Major Baker, by the way, was accused of being drunk on the morning of the massacre. In a separate incident a couple of years later, the major was actually arrested by his superior officer for drunkenness and downgraded in his military role.
By 1869, the Union Pacific Railroad had divided the buffalo into northern and southern herds.
Do you know what happened to the American buffalo? It's considered one of the most infamous conservation horror stories in American history, period.
On the South Platte, hunters built fires to keep the buffalo from water at night and killed them as they came to slake their thirst by day. 1875 saw the end. In 1875, the great southern herd was gone. By 1882, the Northern Pacific Railroad was built, and 5,000 hunters and skinners were emptying the northern range.
Some 40 million buffalo were purposefully slaughtered by the U.S. Army and other hired hunters because
Colonel Dodge had said, "Every buffalo dead is an Indian gone." And buffalo extermination was the unwritten policy in the winning of the West.
Many indigenous people.
Can we pause right there? Perfect. That was it. That was what I was looking for. Because Colonel Dodge had said, "Every buffalo dead is an Indian gone, and buffalo extermination was the unwritten policy in the winning of the West." You know, manifest destiny. And Horatio Alger, I think, and so on and so on. So, can we back that up, actually? To, I don't know, 119.12 or something like that, so that we can throw that in again, and then we'll scoot forward just a little bit. And so what's the point here? What's the point? The point is, in the first hour, we spent a little time unpacking the controversy of how BLM, which was the Bureau of Land Management, the optics of what was going on in the clip that we played Greg Walden, you know, the unimpeachable witness explaining in about 7 minutes what happened. It really is sort of a rinse and repeat historical cycle. I've talked, you know, we've talked through COVID, for example, about, or, you know, different episodes about how, you know, it's okay as long as it's happening over there somewhere, but not here. You know, how we get the, you know, when the COVID stuff started happening, I was saying we're going to get the Palestinian treatment, we're going to get the Africa treatment. And, you know, now with the World Economic Forum saying, you know, welcome to 2030, you'll own nothing and you've never been happier. You'll know nothing and like it. And TrueStream Media has done some interesting entries on that stuff recently, most recently in particular as well. But, you know, it's rinse and repeat stuff. So welcome to 2030, you'll own nothing and be happy. There is a subjugation afoot, an attempt, and it's happening at glacial speed. So again, we don't seem to notice it, but it's happening. There's a video, and I'm going too far now. There's a video, Babylon Bee did their Tent Hunters, California couple searches for their dream home. So speaking of how far we've come and how, you know, or how far we haven't come and how much we're being hoodwinked, how little we learn, the Native American folks, the indigenous peoples, used to live on and off of the land, right? In teepees for free. And in other, you know, dwellings for free, right? And now, you know, there's the joke that in California, $450,000 will buy you a tent on the freeway. So now you can live in a teepee again on the freeway in less desirable conditions, obviously, and you can pay for it. Which gets back to my point about service stations versus, you know, then versus now kind of thing. Anyway, I just want to give you a little bit more of this soundbite, probably the remainder of this segment, which I think is befitting in terms of lessons of history, the painful lessons of history that we never seem to learn. What did Santayana say? Something about progress far from, anyway. So here's the rest of the soundbite. Go ahead, please.
And 5,000 hunters and skinners were emptying the northern range.
Some 40 million buffalo were purposefully slaughtered by the U.S. Army and other hired hunters because
Colonel Dodge had said, every buffalo dead is an Indian gone. And buffalo extermination was the unwritten policy in the winning of the West.
Many indigenous people starved after their main food source was eradicated, including the Blackfeet, who suffered starvation winters. The worst claimed some 700 lives in the winter of 1883 to 84. By contrast, 42 people perished in the Donner Party, and that story is still taught in history class in middle schools around the country to this day. By 1895, starving and desperate to save their children, the Blackfeet offered to sell lands they didn't even personally believe any man could own to the U.S. government. Come Glacier National Park. When Chief White Calf bitterly accepted the agreement, he was quoted as saying, "Chief Mountain is my head. Now my head is cut off. The mountains have been my last refuge." The sale included an agreement that the Blackfeet could hunt, fish, gather, and carry out their traditional rituals on the lands. But these subsistence rights were extinguished after the lands were officially designated as a national park, and the agreement was, air quotes, reinterpreted by the government. Removed from their most sacred spot, the Blackfeet were given a reservation on the border of the park. In the years that followed, the Great Northern Railway, whose Western Star locomotives were also proudly referred to as Empire Builders, recalling the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Star of Empire, ran a rail line directly through the Blackfeet Reservation. The railway erected luxury lodges throughout Glacier, including the massive Mini Glacier Hotel, a place that would only be open from June to September each year, then closed for the winter for even longer than the Overlook did in The Shining. The railroad then billed the Montana Park as America's Alps or America's Switzerland, further psychologically blunting the edges of the Wild West to offer travelers European-style architecture and civilization.
There's a modern hotel and everything looks very comfortable, and is very comfortable.
Chalets and waitresses wearing dirndls who served guests dessert while the orchestra played a waltz or a foxtrot.
Stick around, we'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Beyond the suns that guard this roost, beyond beyond your flowers of flaming truth, beyond your latest ad campaigns. An old man sits collecting stamps in a room all filled with Chinese lamps. He saves what others throw away. He says that he'll be rich someday.
Welcome back. Final segment. Yeah, I thought we'd play a little bit more of that, but actually, I think we should leave it at that in the interest of time. And we'll squeeze in a little bit of Denzel from his Dillard University, his 2015 commencement address at Dillard University. I think we should probably do that. We'll end on an uplifting note. Sometimes, you know, history is uncomfortable. Sometimes the truth is uncomfortable, but we should learn the lessons of history. And can we do the Denzel thing real quick?
My mother told me, she said, yeah, because you can run in place all the time and never get anywhere. So continue to strive, continue to have goals, continue to progress. Number three, you'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. I'll say it again. You'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. I don't care how much money you make, you can't take it with you. The Egyptians tried it. They got robbed. That's all they got. You can't take it with you. And it's not how much you have. It's what you do with what you have. We all have different talents. Some of you will be doctors, some lawyers, some scientists, some educators, some nurses, some teachers. Yeah, okay. Some preachers. The most selfish thing you can do in this world is help someone else. Why is it selfish? Because the gratification, the goodness that comes to you, the good feeling that I get from helping others. Nothing's better than that. Well, one or two things, but nothing's better than that. Not jewelry, not big house I have, not the cars, but it's the joy. That's where the joy is, in helping others. That's where the success is, in helping others. Finally, I pray that you put your slippers way under the bed tonight, so that when you wake up in the morning, you have to get on your knees to reach them. And while you're down there, say thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for parents. Thank you for love. Thank you for kindness. Thank you for humility. Thank you for peace. Thank you for prosperity. Say thank you in advance for what's already yours. That's how I live my life. That's why I am. One of the reasons why I am today.
As Edmund Burke put it, people will not look forward to posterity who never look backward to their ancestors. I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.